September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaw, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the Internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today we're joined by the hedge fund relationship director of UBS, Bill Richards. Bill travels the globe spreading the good news about hedge funds. He's also deeply involved in UBS's summer internship program and serves as a director to seven nonprofit organizations. He began working with hedge funds in 1983. Bill, welcome to our show.
Bruce, it's great to be here with you, and I look forward to the next 20 minutes with you.
First, I want to thank you for allowing me to meet with UBS's biggest clients and try to accomplish what we did that 2-day period. It was just very special, and I just want you to know I really appreciated the chance to see your side of the world. I admitted pretty readily that before I got there, I really didn't know much about hedge funds or hedge fund world, but it was a fascinating 2 days for us.
Well, I can tell you, Bruce, they all enjoyed meeting you, as they did in San Francisco when we did that visit. And anytime you want to come back here to New York, we'd love to have you back.
Okay. You know, Bill, you seem to have clients all over the world. And in a day where most contact is made by emails and everything other than personal contact, I got the sense that your favorite way of meeting people was still face-to-face. Is that true?
Yeah, it is, Bruce. Without a doubt, in my younger days when I was a securities salesman, I would always go see somebody face-to-face when I had something to say, even if it was only going to take 10 minutes. It's just a much better way to communicate.
Is that different than what people are led to believe? Let's say some of your interns come from a very different era where they're thinking that texting is a pretty high form of communication.
Well, I don't know, Bruce, if you're on Twitter, but I am on Twitter.
I don't know.
I got on Twitter to see how people communicate, and it's fascinating because there are 30 million people on Twitter. It was started 2 years ago. And you're limited to 143 characters when you type your message. And to me, that is not an effective way of communications. And I wonder if those 30 million people really think they have relationships.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a very different world. And I think it was obvious, and I kind of mentioned this off air, but the reaction to people when they meet you, they are definitely not, you're not just meeting a client anymore. You have made friends of these people, and there's not any doubt about that.
Well, thank you for that. I'm very honored with a lot of the deep relationships I've built over the years. I was not a finance guy. I'm a history major. although I did have an economics minor, but I didn't do well in economics. And I love people. I love meeting people.
That comes across. And that's got to be a huge part of your success. When you deal with interns, you have a meeting, I don't know if it's annually, but you just mentioned to me that you had one of the people meet with your interns about some new concepts. Is that an ongoing thing, or is that once a year thing?
I've done this, Bruce, for 9 years. For lack of a better title, I called it the best and the brightest. And there's a legendary hedge fund investor who you met in the lobby of his office, Julian H. Robertson Jr. of Tiger Management. Julian is now 77 years old, and he opens our summer speaker series every summer.
Mm-hmm. And he gets how many people are there on the in the intern
program? Well, in Julian's case, we will take 24 of the interns to his office. We here in New York this summer probably have about 60 interns. UBS around the world this year, for any of your listeners who are still in college, www.ubs.com is where to apply. We probably have 500 summer interns around the world.
And that's a fantastic opportunity for them to get exposed to some of the brightest people in the world, I'm sure.
It's a tremendous opportunity. I will have some very interesting speakers next week. Rob Briskman, who was the co-founder of Sirius Satellite Radio. Rob is a satellite engineer with deep training through a number of U.S. government agencies. Sirius has launched all their satellites from Kyrgyzstan.
Bill, I guess why don't we go back and find out how you got involved in the hedge fund world. And this was 25-plus years ago, and I doubt that there were very many people that even understood what a hedge fund was.
Well, I remember it well, Bruce. It was 1983, and my oldest son was born with some challenges and some difficulties. And we took a pool of money that we hoped would provide for him in the future years, and I went to see my friend Julian Robertson, who was running Tiger Management then. He had started it in 1980 with $10 million, and he was probably running $25 million then. And we made our first investment in a hedge fund in 83, and I'm happy to say my son, oldest son, lives completely independent on his own in the beautiful city of Sacramento, California.
And that's based in no small part to the success of that investment.
It is indeed.
What basically is a hedge fund? What do they do?
A hedge fund, and for those of you who are listening, Google search A.W. Jones, J-O-N-E-S. Alfred Winslow Jones was the pioneer of the hedge fund industry in 1949. A hedge fund is basically hedged, and when it is hedged, you should, number one, in bad markets, not lose a lot of money, and number two, in good markets, you should do reasonably well.
Okay. Our group is a real estate group, and by when you say the word hedged, you're betting, you kind of have insurance in place to where you're not going to lose if things go other than what you thought. Is that what you mean?
It is. Just to use a mathematical model, Bruce, let's say a hedge fund had $10 million in it.
Okay.
The key to the number is your net exposure. And most hedge funds average net exposure of 30 to 40%. The net exposure is the difference between your longs and your shorts.
Okay.
And right now, because of the difficulties in the economy and the volatilities of the market, most hedge funds actually have net exposure, the lowest I've seen in 26 years, 10 to 15%. Some cases even lower, Bruce.
And that's because they're feeling very conservative about things.
Indeed. And also, these markets, as you know, are extremely volatile. And so they're hugging close to shore during some pretty choppy waters.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the real estate business, there's changes that happen, and major changes on how the rules of engagement work. They happen almost every month. And so I can imagine a hedge fund manager would almost have to have a crystal ball in some of these cases to have picked the right direction, because the direction can change in a drop of a hat.
Yeah, and add on to that, Bruce, it's a large global industry. It gets a bit of a bad rap from the press. I've gone numerous times on one major network, but it really, in my mind, many of the world's best investors, and let's pick three of them, Julian Robertson, George Soros, and Warren Buffett. All three of them, two of them still are involved in hedge funds, and Warren at one point had a hedge fund.
How does someone become involved in running a hedge fund?
Well, most of the people I know had a good undergraduate education. They're reasonably well grounded in mathematics and accounting. They then got some work experience. They then went back to great business schools like the ones out that you have in your great state of California, like Stanford University or the business school at UCLA, or on it goes. And then they come to Wall Street and get experience.
Okay. And does a company like UBS get their investors involved in some of the hedge funds if they think they're worthwhile?
Well, that's done by our wealth management division, but sure, without a doubt, we are, and our clients are as well.
Okay. What do hedge funds typically invest in?
I have stuck in the area that I can talk the with the greatest knowledge about, Bruce, is long, short equities, because that is what I have done since 1983. To me, you can make plenty of money doing long short equities. And so what that does, what people who do that do, they try to identify the very best and greatest companies in the world, and then they go long them, they buy them, and conversely, they try to identify the very worst companies in the world, business models that are broken, fads, frauds, and failures, and they go short them. They sell stocks that they don't own. They borrow them with the belief that they'll go down eventually to zero.
Okay. I like that. I like that. In real estate, usually you only get to buy and hold it. But,
gives you the other side of that trade.
Okay. How does it differ from a REIT in structure, if you don't mind? Because more people would probably be familiar with a REIT as far as...
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm not as knowledgeable on REITs, but number one, REITs are long only. They assemble various commercial real estate properties, and then they are a dividend vehicle to the investor.
Okay.
They take a part of the rent flow and pass it on to the investors in the form of dividends.
Okay.
And number two, they're, as you just said, they're in one particular area, real estate. I like hedge funds that invest broadly around the world and try to identify great companies wherever they might be.
And I'm sure the economies could be very different under normal circumstances. Maybe everybody's having a tough time now, but you could have pockets of extreme growth while other countries are having a kind of a lousy time.
Well, indeed, Bruce, and it's great that you mentioned that, because countries like Brazil and China continue actually to put up very decent, if not very good, economic numbers, whereas, as you well know, here in America and in parts of Europe, we're having our difficulties right now.
How are hedge funds regulated?
Well, it always gets me when I read that they're unregulated vehicles, because they certainly aren't. And our new administration has made clear that they plan to have all hedge funds register with the SEC. Secondly, the hedge funds all deal with what are called prime brokers, which are affiliated with investment banks like us, and all of the prime brokers are regulated as well.
Okay, so do you think there's more regulation coming just because of the recent experience?
Well, I mean, personally, I think without a doubt, with what we've been through in the United States for the last few years, I think there's more regulation coming in a lot of areas. And they've made it pretty clear that the registration requirement's going to be made universal for hedge funds. But I am quite optimistic, Bruce, on the hedge fund industry going forward.
When you just said they were going to make something universal, could you expand on that as far as the requirement?
Yeah, there was an option under the previous administration under the SEC to choose to register or not register with the Securities Exchange Commission.
Okay.
And that was up to hedge funds. It was not mandatory, and some did register, others chose not to. Shortly, they will all be required to register with the SEC, and I think that's a very good thing.
Okay. Somebody that wants to invest in a hedge fund, do they have a net worth requirement or an earnings requirement before they're allowed to do
so?
Yep,
there are two classes, not to get too technical, but just to cover it, there are two classes of hedge funds in the United States, 3C1s and 3C7s. And one, I believe I'm right on this, the 3C1 has a minimum net worth of $1 million and certain liquidity requirements. The 3C7 has a larger net worth requirement of $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the new hedge funds being formed now are adopting the 3C7 structure. It's not for the small investor.
No, I can see that. Are the hedge funds allowed to freely invest in other countries?
Yes, they are, and they do. And I can tell you, because I deal with many of them, they travel the world. And I've traveled the world with them.
You meet probably the smartest people in the world? What do you say?
I don't know. Well, Bruce, I was honored to meet you, and I put you right up there. I'll tell you, that was an absolutely memorable 24 hours with you. But I will say this. I meet interesting entrepreneurs. I'll give you two books that your readers will enjoy.
Okay.
One is called Julian Robertson, A Tiger in the Land of Bulls and Bears. And the other is called Soros, by Michael Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N. And I would read those books. It'll give you some amazing insights into some very interesting individuals.
I thank you for that. I'm going to get those books definitely and read them. When people invest in hedge funds, are they allowed to ask for their money back?
By all means, they are. Most hedge funds do have an initial one-year lockup and then quarterly liquidity after that. And the quarterly liquidity requires prior notice to get out. So it's certainly, they are not a money market fund. They're not for anything like all of your assets. They're for a portion of your assets if they fit you. And I would add, Bruce, just in closing, a lot of the really best hedge funds are now moving to a 2, 3, and even 5-year lockup.
I see. That makes more sense that could be more stable for the investment, too.
Yes.
When you have some negative things happen, like a Bernie Madoff and so forth, how does that affect people's pension to take on risk?
Well, it affected it massively, as you know. I mean, I didn't know Mr. Madoff. In fact, I'll be honest, I had never heard of him. But I certainly have read about him extensively now, and it without a doubt was a massive blow to confidence on the part of investors. I would say they've lengthened and deepened their due diligence, and their requirements for transparency from hedge funds has increased.
That would make sense that not only happened to that industry, it certainly happened in almost every facet of investing in real estate in California as well. A lot of the properties are being bought by true investors rather than speculators. And maybe did speculation also take hold in the hedge fund world?
I think there was a pretty large growth in a part of the business called the fund of funds business, which is a business that invests in multiple hedge funds. And I think that might have gotten a little bit ahead of itself. But hopefully, in my mind, most of the people who do invest in hedge funds are you met a large number of them, and I hope most of the investors are pretty sophisticated and know what they're getting into.
What do you see hedge funds looking to invest in now? Are they looking mostly to other countries? And also, what type of industries do they see having the most potential?
Well, Bruce, as you were doing now in Riverside, California, you know, I always learned in life from when I was in the Vietnam War in 1969 as an infantry lieutenant, the biggest opportunities in life are when they're the greatest problems.
Absolutely.
And we have huge problems right now, but we also have huge opportunities. So hedge funds are looking around the world to companies that maybe are being penalized by the market for some strange reason. People aren't confident, and it's creating huge opportunities. There are a number of new hedge funds launching right here in Manhattan.
As you go and talk to people all over the world, are they more the same than different as far as their investment habits, their willingness to take risk?
Well, I like different people, because I think in this great country of America, what makes us great is differences, that we attract the best people from all over the world. So I gave a lecture once at the United States Army War College, and they had a problem they were dealing with, and they came to the solution, and I said, well, did you all agree? And they're like, yes, we all agreed. And I said, well, in that case, it's got to be wrong. So I like disagreement, and I like different people. And I think you'll say, Bruce, having met a lot of them, they're pretty unique individuals in the hedge fund industry.
They were indeed. You know, you mentioned it just now. You mentioned it several times when I was with you about your experience as a veteran of the Vietnam War. And we've got thousands of young men and women that are experiencing some of those same things as you did many years ago. What were you able to take away from that experience that made a difference in your life?
Well, I say first to any of them and their families who are on this call, thank you for your service to our great country, and thank you all of you for what you've done and your families. I say second, there is no better place than the United States military to learn leadership. I know you've been through a rough time, but believe me, what I learned on the border of Vietnam with four Americans and 100 Vietnamese when we got ambushed in October of 1969 stayed with me the rest of my life, and it's made me a better person. So tough times actually build great people, and I guess I can sum up what I'd say to all of them in two words. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Last question. You're involved in a lot of nonprofit organizations. Have you found that the very wealthy are very generous toward causes?
I would indeed, Bruce. It is extensive. I'm involved in a number of charities that help young people. I'm involved with the Disabled Ski School up at Alpine Meadows, which has helped the Wounded Warriors. And I would say again and again and again, people with great wealth always, when asked, give back to society.
Well, Bill, I knew this would be a fascinating interview, and it really has been. It was my honor to get to meet you and experience your side of the world for a couple of days. And I really want to thank you for the tour to an entirely new industry and for getting to meet your clients. And I especially appreciate the last 25 minutes we've had together.
Well, Bruce, you and your son come back to New York anytime you like. We'd love to get you to Chicago. You've got an amazing story there with the NARS Group, and I thank you for sharing your time with me this morning.
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to the NARS Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the NARS Group, please visit www.thenarsgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalmay Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, The Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter. To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.